Psalm 121, starting at verse 1. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord keeps you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather together here this afternoon. Lord, thank you for these words of hope. And I pray that we would indeed be having open hearts to you this afternoon, that we would know you, Lord, the God who watches over us. May we be mindful of that. In Jesus' name now, amen. As a teenager, the first week of January used to fill me with dread. Now, it's not because it was cold weather and it was getting dark. Neither was it the fact that Christmas holidays were over and I had to go back to school. It was something far worse than lessons and homework or a school bully. The thing that caused me great fear was cross-country. Oh. Even now, actually, talking about it gets my heart racing and makes me feel a bit giddy. I'm not a fan of cross-country. I actually hated it. It was a real slog for me. It didn't matter if it was raining, snowing, freezing outside. We had to do it. And there was my PE teacher, Mr. Shaw, blowing his whistle, shouting at us, "Run faster!" Or there was a threat of detention for anyone who dare walk. So it was, it was a bit difficult, as there was no escape from cross country. I don't know, was your experience for cross country the same as mine? I can see a few nods there, yes. I don't know what kept you going, but for me, this is a bit odd, okay? But what kept me going was singing Postman Pat. Now, I have to say, that was in my head, okay, not out loud. It was just quietly under my breath. It was Postman Pat and his black and white cat. Early in the morning, just as the day was dawning, he picks up all the post and puts it in his van. And I just repeat that as I ran around, I don't know for how long, okay? But I say, for some reason, it kept me going. It kept me motivated. And songs are very helpful to do that, aren't they? They're very helpful to help you endure. Maybe you go on a long journey and you have the radio on in the car. Or the songs, what they do, they help prepare you. They help unite you as a group, like football fans when they sing their kind of chants. And we're going to look at a song that keeps us kind of going and each other in the hard slog that is the Christian life. And that is this song, Psalm 121. Now, this psalm is part of a number of psalms together called the Psalms of Ascents. They start at 120. And they finish at Psalm 134. And what they are is that they are there to help prepare people as they make their way up to Jerusalem. And that's where there's hundreds of thousands of people gathered together to worship God in his temple. Well, as the journey is described as an ascent, it's not that these travellers have to go via a mountain warehouse shop to pick up climbing gear. No, Jerusalem wasn't on a particularly high mountain, but they were going up because it was very important. Very important place. Very much like you might say, I'm going up to London because it's the capital city. Well, this journey that these people would have made, or these travellers would have made, they would have had to do it like three times a year. Okay, once for Passover, another one for harvest or Pentecost, and then third one is Tabernacles. And as these kind of travellers would head on up to Jerusalem, they would sing their old favourite songs to keep them going and focused. And so they were collected together as we have them today in our Bible, known as the Psalms of Ascent. And we can get the progression, okay, of these psalms as they start their journey in Psalm 120. Look at me at verse 5. It says this. It says, "Woe to me that I dwell in Meshech, that I live among the tents of Kedar." Basically, it's saying, God's people are saying, look, we don't belong here. This place is not our home. We belong with God in Jerusalem. And so, in Psalm 100, and 22, verse 2, it says this: our feet are standing in your gates, Jerusalem. There they have. They are made now. They've made it to Jerusalem, where they've headed, where they want to be. And then by the end of these Psalms of Ascent, in 134, verse 2, it says this: lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. They've made it. They've made it to Jerusalem. And now they are praising God in the holy temple with God, in the presence of God. And so there we have the whole journey of this Psalm of Ascent. But before they kind of get to the temple, there's a climb. Okay, there's a climb. And this journey is described in Psalm 121. And so the first thing I want us to see from Psalm 121 is this: that we keep looking to God in the journey. Verses 1 to 2. Keep looking to God in the journey. I have to say, what comes to mind when you look at verse 1? If you look with me, it says this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Now, maybe you know the slightly older version, which says up to the hills. For me, what it does, it conjures up a description by the classic hymn by William Blake, Jerusalem. It says this: did those feet in ancient times walk upon England's mountain green, on England's pleasant pastures seen, and did the countenance divine shine upon forth the clouded hills? Oh, it's such majestic poetry of like green valleys and wonderful hills. I'd say it's majestic poetry, isn't it? Describing something maybe of the lush green mountains, displaying the magnitude of God's glory. But is this what the traveller is thinking, though, as he heads up to Jerusalem, as he sees these mountains? Because what does he then ask in verse 1? After he said, I lift up my eyes to the mountains, where does my help come from? That's a bit of an odd response, considering they've seen God's kind of glorious creation. You see, as this traveller makes his way up to Jerusalem, these mountains actually aren't a place of that remind him of comfort or joy, but they're a place of danger. A place of danger. These hills and mountains are a place for bandits. That is where they hide. They lie in wait for the unsuspecting traveller to rob them of their money, their tithes, basically. That's what they've been storing away for many, many months to head up to Jerusalem to give in the temple. That is why this traveller is concerned. That's when he thinks, oh, where's my help going to come from when danger strikes? So instead, get this kind of image in your head. Yeah, maybe like a Wild West film, okay? There he is travelling down this path with maybe the canyons on either side. Eyes darting up ahead, dreading what's coming round the raggy kind of rocks round the corner. In that situation, then of course it makes sense to ask, where does my help come from? In this place of fear, where is safety to be found? Well, this psalm isn't just for the traveller. It's actually for us. We can sing it. We can sing this psalm today as well. You see, there are two journeys that are being made here. You've got the physical one. Okay, so that's the one of the traveller as he makes his way up to Jerusalem to worship God in the temple. Now, that's on Mount Zion. And then you've got the spiritual journey. That's heading up towards the kind of heavenly Jerusalem or Zion. And those of us here who are followers of Jesus Christ, well, we are on that journey. This world, well, it's not our home. You see, we're always carrying a suitcase through this life. We are to keep our eyes on the prize, that is the heavenly Jerusalem. Psalm 120, just before, says actually what we live in, and that is actually enemy territory. It says this in verse 6, again, of Psalm 120. It says, too long have I lived among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. We see that they are seeking a way to this heavenly Jerusalem. I don't know if you know, but it's Jerusalem. Salem basically means peace. Okay, so this traveller is making his way to Jerusalem where there is peace, away from a world at war. But the journey is not a pleasant one as he goes and heads over there. Verse 3 in our psalm talks about the rough paths that could cause him to slip. verse 6, it talks about the fraught weather conditions on the way. Verse 7, there's threat of harm. This journey through life, well, as we reach the heavenly Jerusalem, has a destination. That is to be with God. It's not an easy one. It's not an easy one. The singer and TV star Miley Cyrus sings about the journey as she goes through the ups and downs of life. She sang, saying that it's not about the destination. I won't sing it, but she says this: there's always going to be another mountain. Ain't about what's waiting on the other side. It's about the climb. It's about the climb. No, I said I wouldn't sing, sorry. It's about the climb. You see, the problem is that if it's all about the climb, if it's all about living for now, well, we'll lose our clear sight of where we're heading. That is to be with God. We'll stop climbing. We'll head in a direction that then will suit us. And we can all fall into that trap, can't we? Living for the here and now. And so we then leave our seat case down on the floor and we settle for life here. But remember, Psalm 120. We live in a hostile world. This traveller knows it and we should know it. I mean, what response? Imagine this. What response would you get if you send out an email at work saying that you're going to set up a Christian group at work? What sort of response would you get for that? Or you put a clear, kind of direct gospel message on your Facebook post. Or imagine you say to the other mums, oh, I really want my son, my daughter to grow up to be a Christian. What a sort of response would you get? Well, from my experience, I've either got people who are troubled by that, are concerned, or they laugh at me. And you might well have experienced that as well. See, knowing what this world is like, is hostile, keeps us going. So the stresses and strains that this traveller is experiencing on his journey is much the same for us as well. And so we should be asking the same question. Where does my help come from? Where does it come from? Where is your security? Where does it lie? Now, we all know the right answer is Jesus, don't we? We know where to say that. But often it's so much easier to look somewhere else. I mean, try and finish this sentence. One day I fear that... What? What would you add to that? One day I fear that... What disaster are you imagining? What is going to happen that causes you fear? Well, how about this? If nothing comes to mind, try this. I don't fear disaster will come because... I don't fear disaster will come because... Maybe finishing off one of those sentences, that will give you a clue to where your security lies. I don't know, what do you often do? Do you go to the cash point or look on your bank app to see how many zeros you have behind that number? Maybe that's what you do. Or maybe you find that your security is to be found in your having a good self-esteem. So you fill up on self-help books or on podcasts. Or maybe you find it in religion. You've done that church, you've said that prayer, you've read that Bible. Doing those sacred things will protect you when whatever dangers are ahead. Or you've got the other extreme, which is actually you just blot out the worry of disaster. You drink, porn, drugs, those things just make you forget about what's happening up ahead. Well, where can genuine security be found? Where can we find it to escape the dangers stopping us from reaching our home with God? Well, thankfully, we have an answer, and it's in the Bible. Look with me at verse 2. It says this: my help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. It's God. And do you see the name given to him? It's in capital letters. It's the Lord, or in Hebrew, Yahweh. It's very much like calling me Chris or Ray or Laura, who read to us earlier. Lord is a personal name, only to be used by his people. You see, it speaks about his kind of loving, unceasing commitment to his people and no one else. No one else. This name for the Lord God, well, it appears 5 times. And it's given the traveller, as well as us, the reassurance that we will reach our destination. So we are to push on in all circumstances as we walk in this hostile world, as we have the Lord, the God of heaven and earth by our side. And that's another clue to who God is because of what he's done. Again, in verse 2, he's the maker of heaven and earth. We live in this hostile world, but in this world, God reigns supreme. It's his world. The place where those bandits are, behind that craggy rock or wherever, that's his place. That is God's place. He's in charge there. There is no need to worry because he creates the world. He created it, he maintains it, he controls it, and has then the power to direct it too. Nothing is left by chance in his world. Nothing gets left out of his care or attention. I'd say this is an amazing truth. This is fantastic. And we're only at verse 2 so far of this psalm. And this is a great starting point as we think about security. The fact that God is with us in this journey. Now, we could look around the world. Anthony's already prayed about it, hasn't he? This world seems, well, it doesn't look like it's in God's control. Globally, recession, wars, terrorism, Brexit. You've got all these things going on. In fact, we can't even control our own little world, can we? The day-to-day life is very precarious, isn't it? Maybe you're facing unemployment, financial issues or troubles, a relationship breakdown, the workplace. Maybe there's a bully there. You're caring for a relative. That isn't going to get better. You received those test results from the doctor. Well, in those times, we want someone trustworthy to look us in the eye and promise, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. And this is what this psalm does. It keeps us looking to God, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Keeps us looking to him. And we know that he will keep us safe. Everything else that promises safety will fail. So put yourself under his care as we are safe in his hands. The next thing that we see from this psalm is this. God keeps you moving in the journey. God keeps you moving in the journey, verses 3 to 8. Now, as a young Christian, I think the thing that really most troubled me was, will I continue being a Christian? Will I continue trusting in Christ? Or will I mess up? Will I do something really bad that will ruin the path that God has planned for me? And then I have to, settle for second best in God's plan. Or worse still, will I one day just give up being a Christian? Now, probably question is running through this traveller's mind as he makes his way to Jerusalem. Well, to help assure him, this traveller and us, the Lord God says something five times, or there's some word that is said five times in this psalm. I don't know if you can spot it there. It says it five times repeated. Well, I'll give you a second. The word is watch. The word is watch. Actually, it's six times because actually the proper way to put it is keep. Is keep. That means this hostile world, we are kept people. Whatever we face on the path of life, God will protect us, preserve and sustain us as we make our way to him. We see this in practice because the Lord has given us three promises in this kind of difficult and sometimes hazardous journey. The first promise we see in verses 3 to 4, and that is we are under God's special protection. We're under God's special protection. In verse 3, it highlights that the path and the Palestinian kind of hills and ravines, they're difficult terrain. That the foot could easily slip, or you put your foot on a stone and it suddenly gives way. This could cause a serious injury, maybe a broken ankle that then ends your journey. But with this path that is fraught with danger, there's no need to worry as God is your bodyguard. We see this in verse 3. He who watches over you will not slumber. You see, God will keep this traveller and us on the road to Jerusalem. Nothing will stop him and us from making it to our destination. That is making it home, whatever danger we face. This means that we can walk with confidence. Not that it will be trouble-free, but we are safe in God's care. And this should ask us to to think, why? Why are we marked out, or why are you marked out for God's special attention? This is the Lord God who's created the heavens and the earth. Why is he concerned about little old you? Well, let's have a look in verse 4, for it gives us the answer. It says, indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Do you see who has a special and unique relationship with God? It's Israel, God's chosen people. Israel is exceptionally precious and valuable to God. See how he speaks about Israel just after he saved the people from slavery in Egypt. From Exodus chapter 19, verses 4 to 5, says this: you yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on the eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations you'll be my treasured possession. Israel is God's treasured possession. Out of all nations, he's gone to extraordinary lengths to save his people from Egypt. Earlier, actually, in the book of Exodus, it says that God has redeemed his people. That is, that he's actually bought them. He's bought them. That means he owns them. They belong to him, which means that no one else can take them away from him. And we can be part of Israel. We can be part of God's treasured possession. And that is if we trust and believe in Jesus Christ. Well, as an elite security guard and system watches over non-stop over the crown jewels in the Tower of London, so the Lord God, well, this is the Lord God who sustains the whole world, keeps it running. Well, he has special attention given to you. That is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. God is never caught napping. We see that in verse 4. It says he neither slumbers nor sleeps. His eyes, well, they never close. They never grow weary of helping us, stopping us from slipping. You see, there are many unknown perils out there, aren't there? But God's security, well, is certain. Certain to keep us moving in the journey to him. The second promise we see is that is to be found in verses 5 to 6. That is, God accompanies us. God accompanies us. Here the traveller faces severe weather conditions as he makes his way on the path, but knowing that God is with him every step of the way. Verse 5 says this: the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. He's your shade. Basically, he's saying that the God is as close to you as your own shadow. I don't know if you know of the famous Liverpool club football song. It goes, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. This is true of every Christian. They are never walking alone. For the Lord God, the maker of heaven and earth, is walking with you. Now, we could think, oh, that's very nice. Is this like some pretend friend or invisible friend who just kind of is there somehow? Well, know that this is God's shade, or presence, does have power. And we see this in verse 6. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. You see, God's shadow is like a shield that protects you. So as this traveller journeys to Jerusalem, understand, it doesn't mean that he won't face hardship or trouble or danger. As the sun, well, it beats down upon him. He sees glimpses of danger in the moonlight. But he need not fear, for the divine companion, the Lord, stands between him and every threat that faces him. In many ways, it reminds me of Psalm 23. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The previous church I had worked in had Psalm 23 as their security alarm code, saying whatever comes their way, a day or night, ultimately God is the one who will protect them from dangers that are seen and unseen. God doesn't promise that you kind of like take you out of the problem. No, he promises to sustain you through it. Now, it being the first week of 2019, it's good to reflect back on 2018. for myself, there have been many highs. So my brother, he's become a father for the first time to Iris. Me and Jess and the family had a wonderful time on holiday in Croatia. Oh, it's an amazing place, lovely, lovely place. And also we had a fantastic time here with the holiday club during the summer as well. Wonderful highs, really, really good times. But 2018 hasn't been without its lows. You see, I've sat with a dying relative. Very sad. Also, there's conflict in the family where two members of a family, they can't even talk to each other. Another one is a close friend of ours has run out on his marriage, leaving behind his wife and two actually quite young children. But I have to say, through all those highs and lows, God has been constant. He's been with me every step of the way. Even in the dark, God has not been absent. This is a wonderful promise, isn't it? That God has given us. I'd encourage you to do the same. Look back on 2018 and see where God has been your shade, your shadow, holding you by your right hand. And so this should keep you and us, all of us, journeying on with confidence as we make our way to Him. The third promise from God is this, as we travel through life, that we are forever secure in God. Verse 7 says this, the Lord will keep you from all harm. Hearing that God will keep us from all harm, sounds like a failed promise, doesn't it? I mean, surely all of us here, as Christians, have experienced harm. So what's it saying here? Well, what is helpful, I think, is when it mentions harm here, is what type of harm? Because we see in other translations of the Bible, so ESV, it says this. It says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. From all evil. And the ultimate evil is basically turning against God. Turning your back on God, on Him. But God promises that He will keep us going on with Him. Once we've started journeying with Him, well, He won't let us go. No. We've already seen it kind of illustrated, this promise, in verse 3. It says this, He will not let your foot slip. If you remember, I said that there were two journeys going on here. You got the literal one, okay, of this traveller heading up to Jerusalem, and then you got the spiritual one. On the spiritual journey, evil is that when your foot slips into sin. We've all put our feet, haven't we all, our foot in wrong places. I know I have. I say silly things. I say foolish things. Inadvertently, I mess up. But God doesn't allow me to slip. That is where we slip and end our journey to the heavenly Jerusalem. No. Whatever we face, disaster or death, it won't end our journey to Him. Because we are forever secure in Him. That is how He'll keep us from all harm. Please don't misunderstand me here. This doesn't mean that we can be careless about sin. As there are many people, they've stopped walking towards the heavenly Jerusalem and turned their back on it and have headed back down the path. Or they've been caught in a trap of sin and have quite possibly turned off the path and have shattered their lives. So please, please don't do this. If you find yourself heading in the wrong direction, repent, come back. Come back to God. Hopefully communion this afternoon has reminded you to do that. So as we travel on this path, be confident that you will finish this journey as God, while He is in control throughout our life, up until when we reach the heavenly Jerusalem, that is when we die. We see this in verse 8. The Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forevermore. So these three promises assure us that as we travel through life, facing the hardships, we are under God's special protection because He accompanies us along the way. And we to know that we are eternally secure throughout this journey, come what may. Maybe at this point, many of us are thinking, hopefully I've done enough. Am I on this path? Oh my goodness, I've taken many a side road. I've got myself into sin. This should really disqualify me from entering this heavenly Jerusalem. I want you to see throughout this psalm that God has done it all. He's done it all. We're only to do one thing. And that says that in verse 1. It says, from where does my help come? That's all this traveller does. Where does my help come? And like this traveller, we are to ask God for help in this journey. We're to ask for help. And this is how. By trusting in Jesus. Trusting in Jesus that he's done everything to get you into the heavenly Jerusalem. And it is by his death on the cross. It says this at the end of the book of Jude, verse 24. It says, to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. In this hazardous journey, God won't let you slip or stumble, but is able to bring you home. You see, if you accept Jesus and what he has done on the cross, well, then you are able to stand in God's presence, before his glorious presence, without fault. What will that be like? What will it be like as you travel up the path and there you get into the heavenly Jerusalem? What will it be like to meet God? Well, it won't be one of terror or shame. But look, it says with great joy. With great joy. So we are to walk confidently as you commit yourself under the care of God, who watches, helps, keeps, guards, and guides you safely into his presence. Let us pray now. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you are the Lord, that we can know who you are, that the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, thank you that you are with us in this journey, that we don't believe you're some imaginary friend or just someone there, but actually you are powerfully protecting us by your shade, your shadow, that you are as close to us as our shadow, that you are at our right hand. Father, as we journey on to the heavenly Jerusalem to be with you, Lord, help us keep our gaze fixed upon the heavenly Jerusalem, that we won't end up making our home here, and that, Lord, we'd be encouraged to keep going on in this journey, not fearing it or doubting you, but knowing that you are with us, that you travel before us, and that we are eternally secure with you on this journey. Thank you for these promises to keep us going on in this journey. In Jesus' name, amen.